Well, what I realized early on is that business, you have to do four different things. You have to learn all these different skills. You have to know how to market yourself, right? You need to know how to sell your service. Then you need to know how to do the fulfillment. And then you need to know the right systems and operations and then leading a team, right? And those are all four heavy skills. And so like in a job role, you have one specific role. Like in his example with sales, it's like, all I need to do, I don't worry about the marketing, you know, right. I don't have to worry about the fulfillment. All I need to do is know how to service through selling. And so it was a way for me, because I had young kids, to take that hat off of running a business for 68 hours a week, newly married. I need to transition now, got young kids, I do sales, and that's a great career. I remember reading Robert Kiyosaki in his Rich Dad, Poor Dad book. Rich Dad said, if you want to be rich, learn how to do sales. That would be an amazing skill to have.
But I am the world's biggest super fan.
You're like a super fan.
Welcome to the Business Superfans Podcast. We will discuss how establishing business superfans from customers, employees, and business partners can elevate your success exponentially. Learn why these advocates are a key factor to achieving excellence in the world of commerce. We discuss the invaluable insights of business owners who have successfully implemented the strategies in the book to build their own team of devoted superfans. Gain insightful knowledge from the experts who create applications that help you create passionate superfans. This is the Business Superfans Podcast. With your host, Freddie D.
Ready!
Hey, superfan superstar, Freddie D here. In this episode 95, we're joined by Nathan Newberry, a remarkable entrepreneur whose journey spans from pastor to seven-figure sales leader. As a husband and father of three, Nathan knows firsthand the challenge of growing a business without sacrificing what matters most. After selling his own agency, he created the AI Freedom Method, a powerful system that blends high-ticket sales, AI automation, and strategic team building to help coaches break through revenue plateaus and build sustainable success. His 16-week transformation program has helped clients generate serious results from reoccurring revenue to multi-six-figure months. Get ready to hear insight from someone who's all about real results, no hustle hype, and who's on a mission to help you scale without sacrificing your life. Welcome, Nathan, to the Business Superfans Podcast.
Thanks for having me, Freddie. Appreciate it.
So, Nathan, what is your backstory of how to get started with Help Equip? What's the backstory on all that? And then what's led you to working with AI type tools?
Yeah, my background, I originally was actually a pastor at a church, interesting enough.
Oh, that's a really interesting background.
God's wired us to want to help as many people as we possibly can. And that's why we're in service-based businesses now. I started out with that in my early 20s, and I got into marketing and I ran a marketing agency for 9 years. I got into high-ticket sales. I did really well with that because I cared for people, you know, what a thought. Right.
What caused you to transition out of that?
Well, I'm a process of trying to figure everything out. I went into marketing and then I got into sales and then managing sales where we're doing millions a month in my sales teams. Now I help businesses build an online presence. But I started first doing that just because I didn't know what else to do. I was a pastor. I wanted to help people. There was an old Protestant pastor, early 18th here in the U.S. His name was Jonathan Edwards. He had this saying I really liked: make as much money as you can, save as much money as you can, and give as much money as you can. I love that. If I'm not going to do ministry anymore, where I'm expected not to make anything and have that as my focus, I'm going to make as much money as I possibly can. So it was a mental and an identity shift. Hey, I'm not going to be a pastor at a church. I'm just going to be like Jesus. I really do what I possibly can to make as much money and help a bigger audience. I've had failed businesses in between all that too. And trial and error and trying to figure out some things. I realized I liked marketing because I wasn't locked into just the small community within driving distance. Now I can have a global impact. My clients were all over the world and it was a big difference. And now I can help different people. I have people on my team that were different. It grew from that.
Well, what kind of marketing were you doing? Was it for your own agency, marketing for other businesses, or were you marketing for a business and was their marketing arm?
It was mostly nonprofits and churches. interesting enough that I worked with. Transitioning from being a pastor, I started helping churches, a website, social media management, video editing, all of those sort of things.
So you had a digital marketing agency is basically what you created, focused on that segment of business.
Yeah. Yeah. All those nonprofits, they needed the help online, you know, 15 plus years ago. It was the beginning of all of that where people were like, hey, I need to be online, and they committed to do it. And so, yeah, it was a wave to be done. And then I sold my agency after that too.
Okay. I was just trying to put it together for the audience. You know, you went from there to there. What's the story? How did that all take place? So that's quite interesting. Once you got out of the marketing aspect, what made you transition into the sales aspect?
Well, what I realized early on is that business, you have to do four different things. You have to learn all these different skills. You have to know how to market yourself, right? You need to know how to sell your service. Then you need to know how to do the fulfillment. And then you need to know the right systems and operations and then leading a team, right? And those are all four heavy skills. And so like in a job role, you have one specific role. Like in his example with sales, it's like all I need to do, I don't worry about the marketing, you know, right. I don't have to worry about the fulfillment. All I need to do is know how to service through selling. And so it was a way for me, because I had young kids, to take that hat off of running a business for 68 hours a week, newly married. I need to transition now, got young kids, I do sales, and that's a great career. I remember reading Robert Kiyosaki in his Rich Dad, Poor Dad book. Rich Dad said, if you want to be rich, learn how to do sales. That would be an amazing skill to have. And you have past experience being in sales too, and you know how lucrative it could be. I love doing it and helping people through that and caring and training people and managing sales teams. We were doing millions a month. I mean, it was really cool. To answer your question, why did I do those different roles? Ultimately, as a pastor, quote unquote, I hate saying this, but you're selling Jesus, right?
I appreciate your authenticity on that, because that's what it is in a lot of cases.
And then marketing and sales is a big overlap. Ultimately, if you do really good with marketing, you're selling online through words.
You can't have one without the other and the other without the one.
Absolutely.
I remember years ago when we started in the SaaS industry, in its very beginning, I would get to a position where I was hired to become a district manager and told, okay, you've got Illinois, Missouri, Minnesota, and Wisconsin. Here's your sales quota. By the way, we have no customers. You're opening up the office and go. And I had to create my own marketing and ways of getting the message out about the technology. I developed what I called an attraction marketing strategy, where I would attract people to come to me.
Yeah.
And so it was, you know, prospecting in a way to get people to come to me. It was never really about the technology. I evolved into selling a business solution. The software was a tool, and I would kind of have fun with it and tell, you know, hey, the other guys can do the same work, because there's four of us in this market space. They can all do the job, otherwise it wouldn't be in business. So it was like, what is your business objective? What's your goal with your company? We'd start having that conversation and got out of the tech stuff. I'd always win the sale because it was more strategy than technology.
Yeah, I mean, it's the outcome, right? It's like, if I'm a doctor, I'm going to sell the outcome of them being healthy. And then in the midst of that, you're selling pills, right?
Mechanism.
Yeah. It's like, you want to get a six-pack ab? It's like, well, you're not going to buy just the gym equipment. You're buying the outcome of you being ripped and jacked, you know?
Right.
It's the outcome that we sell. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Well, that's when you're playing at a different level in sales, because you've eliminated most of the low-level competition because they're not playing at that level.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So let's go into, you know, I see that you talk about your AI freedom method. What is that?
We're in the day of AI. I think there's two camps right now. One is refusing to get on board. They're reluctant because they're like, it's taking my job, or they're too hard to learn. And you have other at the extreme studying it a lot. The person that uses AI while doing their job and finding ways to be proficient is the best. And so as a business owner, for all your listeners here, it's like, how can you be more effective and efficient in the work that you're doing and use AI in all the ways that you're doing everything, right? I think they're trying to think, like, if you're looking at writing content, you're communicating anything from your website, your blog posts, your social media, like, you need specific ways and prompts to really be able to identify how to use that and leverage it. I think in today's age, what we're going to really see is the biggest gap is the communication gap within people and the perceived assumptions of what those people are dealing with. And so it's not only leading a team and communicating effective instructions, but using those skills of giving that instruction to AI for them to create and do what you need to do. And so I think when I use the AI freedom method, it's just my way of saying this is the mechanism of how we look at creating an online business or businesses in general that can have ads and doing the sales conversion right within the back end of doing the fulfillment. Because even in sales, you think of this, I could be a great salesperson and have no leads, right? I could be a business that is great at what I do, the most amazing product or service, but if I have no leads, then I'm struggling. Or I can have all the leads and I'm horrible at sales, then you're stuck too. See, those are skills that need to have to raise up to do it. And AI can really help be proficient on both of those levels.
Oh, absolutely correct, Nathan. If you think about it, people did trade shows and still trade shows go on. Mm-hmm. And many times those leads never get followed up, and boggled my mind when I talk with businesses and they said they just got done doing an event. What'd you do with all the inquiries? Oh, yeah, I forgot. Need to get back to them. The money's in the follow-up.
Yeah.
It's always in the follow-up. You got a 15-minute window. Somebody comes in an inquiry through your website. You got 15 minutes to respond to it in today's world. And that's where AI can come in and says, hey, Nate, see that you've inquired about our stuff. Thanks so much. We're super excited. We'll have one of our people contact you, or you can have the conversation with the AI in real time. I was at a networking event, and the reason I bring it up is this person said, oh yeah, I was chatting with somebody on the chat box. She realized 10 minutes and that she was talking to a robot. But she was there for 10 minutes. She ended up doing a transaction. She said, had it not been for that, she would have walked away.
Yeah, everybody needs to get on board with it. And then it's only going to compound and explode how people will be using it. Even the SaaS tool you're using right now, AI and adopting everything they do. People need to know how to use it and start using every tool they possibly can. The easiest way to get started, if they haven't, is just open ChatGPT, ask a question, have a conversation. I do this in just about everything. I got kids. How do I raise my kids? How do I have a better marriage? You know, I do this even with fitness, right? Like, I'm on this fitness transformation. I ran a marathon before, but my physique wasn't the way I wanted it to be. So I started learning what that is. I have AI helping me with what I need to do from my macros to what sets. In spring break, I'm looking to get 6-pack abs for the first time. I'm calculating everything. I text my end. I text where I'm at, all the macros for the day. And it just tells you if you're on pace or not. You can use it for everything.
Yeah.
And so I think people need to start talking and just having a conversation. Even if it was like, how can you help me with this? You know, how can you help me with it? And they'll give you ideas and you can go in depth with some of those questions. For sure.
Let's talk about how you worked with some of your coaches and share a story of where they were when you began working with them and where they ended up. And now they're super fans of yours because you've transformed their business model. Now they're promoting you to others.
I'll give you two. One is someone that's just starting their business and another one that's looking to scale, right? So the first one, I have a few guys that just started out trying to figure out, okay, I have a profession, they have a skill. And this is specifically for online business growth. Like if you have a skill on anything, sales and marketing or a widget, you got to figure out like their challenges and then figure out how to solve it. So you have to figure out what your offer is. And I typically help people with a higher ticket offer. Right. So it's something that people will pay a few thousand at least for so that they can use that and then grow in their education. I've had a few guys that were in the real estate business. Some guy was in the passion, like flipping. The other one was a passive income. And we got them set up. So it's like we've defined their offer. That's going to help lead into using AI and some prompts to figure out their prompts for what ads they need to run, what their playbooks will be, what content they need to create. And then going through and chunking down everything so they can get more consistent leads coming through so they can go through their sales process that we train them on. And many of the times it's what we call sell by chat. So, you know, before you even have an inbound conversation with someone, you need to qualify them to see if they're even, you know, number one, have money, right? Number two, do they even have that need? And then the third one, is it urgent for them to fix it right now? And so if we can help them really get qualified people on the phone, it's going to help them sell their offer. Most of the time people are starting out, they want to replace their income at $10,000 a month. If they can do that consistently with inbound leads that are coming at them with the content that they create, that's a lot of my success comes from. I had a gal teaching people how to do investments to get rental properties too. She started out a month with a few different clients she had. We took her to $36,000 a month on a consistent basis because we were getting more consistent lead flow, getting clear on our pricing, packaging, and offering, and the content that she needed to create. There's a lot of transformation when you narrow down what skills you need, how do you leverage AI, and build systems that simplify everything so they can just work 20 hours or less a week.
I have a saying that to be terrific, you need to be specific. And if you're specific, you will be terrific.
I love it.
So what you just did with her is you helped her become specific in what was her offer. And then you helped her become terrific because of the fact that you went from $6,000 to $36,000 because of the systems that you put into place. That was transformative for her. She's a super fan of you because $30,000 a month increase is nothing to sneeze at.
Nope. That helped her in so many different areas for sure.
So now she's a brand advocate, but I prefer calling them super fans. And she's telling other people about the transformation that you did for her. That attracts more business for you, and you're not paying for that kind of marketing.
Yeah. And most of the time, people realize God's wired us to want to help as many people as we possibly can. Like, if we really looked internally, we want more impact in our life. You know, and people gave up money and time to serve in impactful ways. This is why we have people that are doing stuff with orphanages and overseas and helping people. It's because we always have a heart for that, right? And I think that's good. And most of the time, people just don't know how they can help. And so walking them through of saying, hey, what's your pricing, packaging, and offering? What are you going to actually position yourself? We can do that pretty quickly to help a lot of people get clear so then they know what they're actually presenting and then what kind of content that's going to help people overall, that's going to help you be able to have lead magnets coming to you with inbound high quality leads.
Sure. I'm going to emphasize what you just said, which is the people want to help, because I've traveled so far to 32 countries. I speak a couple languages. And I remember years ago, me and a friend, we were traveling through Europe and we were in Germany and he spoke a little bit of German, but he wasn't good at reading it. And I spoke no German. I spoke fluent French at the time and still do. We went into a restaurant. We're looking at the menu and it's in German. We have no clue what we're looking at. Food smells good in the place, but that's about all we knew. The waitress came by and she looked at us and she could see that we had a look on our faces like we're clueless of what we're looking at. She just pointed to one item on the thing. Still remember, it was a phenomenal meal. Wasn't expensive, was reasonable. Turned out it was her house specialty. They went out of their way to help us. Same thing, I'm one of the few people you'll meet that's gone through Checkpoint Charlie, if you know what that is, in Berlin. And I was in, at the time, communist East Germany and Poland, and we were lost. We had a map. There was no GPS back then. I'm in a foreign country, the complete foreign environment. And we found a taxi driver. We showed him this address and he knew that we were lost. So he told us to follow him and we followed him. He took us to our destination. We gave him a $20 bill back then. That was huge money for him. But he went out of his way to help us. Doesn't matter what culture, what religion we're at, people are people and people will help people.
Yeah, absolutely.
So let's continue on with some points. What are the things that you do with businesses? You talked a little bit. Let's go deeper into that.
Sure.
How do you really analyze somebody that says, okay, I've got this experience. How do you transform that into a marketable item?
Well, to start a business, you got to be able to transact money, right? So people are like, hey, I'm going to start a business, but then they never make a dollar off it, or they spin their wheels with even starting a business. Like, oh, I'm still working on registering my LLC. That takes like 15 minutes.
Do it online, done.
People spin their world because of the unknown. The process through everything is that you need to get leads. Ultimately, everybody's looking for, hey, Nathan, how do I make more money? What you're saying is I need more leads and revenue. How can you get more of those? That's going to help you on the fulfillment, create the systems that you need with fulfillment and build a team because you have revenue coming through the doors. There was a book from Alex Hormozi called $100 Million Leads, and he chunked down and explained that the four types of leads you can get from paid ads, cold outreach, warm outreach, or organic content that go viral. Many people double down on just one of those aspects, but if you look at a funnel of how people find you, start following you, and then start raising their hand being that super fan because they're super interested and want to work with you, that comes through a process. And so there's inbound and outbound. I can outbound call people. I can outbound email. I can outbound mail them. I can outbound message them through DMs. But ultimately, I want people in my world. More often than not, if we really looked at everything, people can understand this. What we thought when we were in, you know, junior high, everybody was thinking about us all the time. In fact, as you get older, you realize people aren't thinking about you at all. Going back to that story with the trade show, it's like, oh, people will call me because they met me once in the 100 people they saw me at the trade show. It's like, no, they totally forgot about you, bro. Like, you need to go and track them down, remind them how you met them and remember them, and then constantly, never relentlessly allow them not to be in front of you somehow in some way, right? You got to be aggressive with getting leads, and from those leads, turn them into clients. What I work with my clients is identifying the ways. Do you have money to spend on ads? Do we have a way to get through with content? Content is king right now with nurturing clients. Not everybody's going to go viral, and that's not what we're expected to do, but what we're doing is helping solve problems with the content we're creating that's going to then have more call to action of saying, hey, how would you like to work with me? Or this is how we can work together. And then they book a call, you qualify them, and then you have that conversation more in depth. So you're getting more inbound high quality leads when you really define a key strategy with ads and with some content. People are going to succeed in the short term and in the long term. Many times people get lost, like, hey, I'm posting something on my website. I just posted a blog post. Okay.
So
nobody has seen that. Have you advertised it? Have you put ads on it? I'll give you an example. When I built websites, a lot of times people wanted a website or thought they needed one just for the sake of it. But I've also built hundreds of websites with no marketing engine behind it, and nobody's visiting those websites. The goal was never the website. The goal was marketing to get leads and revenue. It's all about making sure that you're building a personal brand that's helped you stand out and build systems to give you more leads and revenue.
And that's great because that gets you a transaction. But as we both know, that's not the sale. The sale is everything that happens after the transaction.
No doubt.
That's the sale. That's what most people don't realize. They say, well, yeah, I just made a big sale. You got a transaction done. You got an agreement signed off. Everything that happens after that, the onboarding, the implementation, the training, the strategies, getting their digital presence set up properly and everything else, that's the sale. Because that's how you start transforming them into super fans. When I was selling to the manufacturing space, the sale was really the whole onboarding. We had to get the management team and the ownership team to understand that just because you bought new technology and turned it on doesn't mean it's going to make you money today. You got to run the old system as you're blending in the new system, right? You can't stop this because this is your business. So you move that over. The whole onboarding experience, the magic that transforms them into referral sources or what I call super fans, they in turn start promoting you to other people and help you scale cost effectively. If they have a bad experience or improper expectations are set, then perceptions become their reality. If you can create the proper expectation and perception, it's transformative.
Yeah. The reason why I started talking more about the front end of the business and process of scaling with referrals and building out the right processes to make sure that people stay with you long term and have a great experience is that most of the times people spin their wheels hoping and praying.
Hoping and praying is not a strategy.
I've talked to so many entrepreneurs and say they've been working on building their website months that nobody's visiting or months of strategy. Before you know, life is over. Realistically, figure out a half-baked idea and go sell it. Then figure out what your clients needs when they hire you. Do everything you possibly can to make sure that they love and care about you and the product. And then you'll have super fans by doing those extra layers of customer service. And then you're going to build out a whole program and offer around what they need because you got a client that's actually telling you what they actually need.
And you bring up a great point about getting caught in the unimportant. I have a friend, known him for over a decade. He's got a patent on something and he's built a cool product. I told him, okay, start marketing it. Well, I don't have packaging for it. Who cares? You know, it's sellable. Well, I want them to be able to have it mounted on their wall. They can lean it up against the wall. It works. Nope, got to have the mount, and the mount's got to look so much. Procrastination on all the things that are completely unimportant. I bring that up because you just said people could rebuild their website. You know, it's not right. It's still not ready. The messaging isn't right. Sometimes you got to step out of your comfort zone and get into the game. Because if you're not into the game, you got no chance of winning the game because you're still in the bleacher seats.
Yeah.
And that's where this guy is. He's had this thing for 10 years now. And he bought, you know, a milling machine and a lathe. He bought some of the stuff. Just go sell a few and get a demand. You know, you can go to the Home Depot or something and have them commit to 5,000 orders. And then you can go and do all that stuff. And I think he'll never sell it.
Yeah. Those are common pitfalls that people had. I ran a marketing agency, and then I even coached at a marketing agency coaching company for a little bit. One of the common pitfalls is like, I'm not ready yet, or I got to make sure my website is up. Here's another one that I see quite a bit. Even if they send out a proposal to the client, their sales process is awful. They spent hours on a proposal and then email. Someone has like five other proposals. They don't do the follow-up, you know, where they book a call and they present it. And realistically, this is what those people are doing. They look at their phone, they go to their email, and then all the verbiage and grammar and all the diagrams that they spend hours on, they literally scroll to the bottom where the price is at, and then we'll make a gut check and decide if they're going to go with you or not. And then they lose deals left and right. And it's like,
there's no relationship. There's no relationship.
Yes.
I sold into a large government agency a couple of years ago. We built the relationship. Got the sale, and it turned out to be a significant amount of revenue. We would meet once a month. We talked 5 minutes on the business. Then we were socializing about, what did you do last month? She was looking to go to Jamaica. So we talked about my now wife, who used to spend summers in Jamaica. We were just building a friendship because people buy from people they like and trust, right? That's sales 101. And so she became a super fan because I sold into other department agencies and she was referenceable because she was my friend.
Mm-hmm. It goes a long way when you can build a good relationship and know how to carry a conversation, even with your audience as they're trying to build and expand. Go to these things where they're forcing you to go into places where you have to be uncomfortable. And I think that's going to help you grow and expand. It's like that immersion for different languages, right? They're forcing you to be uncomfortable where you can't learn the language. And so you're forced to have a little more stress to learn the language. It's like the immersion of some of those sort of things. And believe it or not, Freddie, like if I look at those personality questions of everything, I'm probably an introvert. I've learned to be an extrovert. It's kind of a skill to communicate and ask people.
I totally get it, Nathan. I used to be an engineer. I almost got fired when I got into the SaaS world because I was to install software in the beginning and then train the people how to use the system. First company I went to was just two of us, just like you and I. So it wasn't too disastrous. I had the manual. Nathan, click here and click there. Over there, click here and click there. That was my training. And then I was in front of another company and a group of engineers, you know, from drafting board, when you're doing 2D drafting, you would think in 3D and you'd convert it to 2D. So I'm telling them, you're going to go from 3D thinking to 3D design, and you're going to eliminate the step. I had to transform their thinking. So I'm doing the same type of training. Go into the book and click here and click there. The manager at the end of the first day pulled me over and said, that was the worst effing training I've ever seen in my entire life. He goes, I'm going to give you tomorrow, and the word otherwise, I'm going to call your boss and tell him to fire your blank, blank, blank. I slept well that night. And that transformed me. And I really thanked the guy today because I created an engagement training back in 1981 where I would start asking questions. Okay, Nathan, do you think it's correct to create this box? Well, I do. Steve, do you think Nathan's correct? No, he's missing a syntax. Mike, do you agree with Steve? Yes, I do. Okay. And so it got everybody into the conversation and everybody started learning. So completely get what you're saying about being an introvert and you have to transform. I had to transform or I would have been out of the SaaS world as fast as I got in it.
Yeah. And it's a skill, right? Just like many things. It's not just inherent talent. It's working really hard on a craft. If you're on your business with those four core areas of sales and marketing, fulfillment, leadership, and systems, you got to study that. Brian Tracy, you know, a motivational speaker, he talked your E to E ratio, education versus entertainment. So often we lean toward comfort as our goal. That's why we think about retirement. It's like, that's the end goal, to be comfortable with not having to work. When God's wired us, even from the very beginning, to work. Adam and Eve is in the garden. The first job, and hey, name the animals, tend to the garden. He gave us work to do. We find fulfillment with it. People look at job and work as an enemy when it's like, really, you got to start enjoying. If you're not enjoying your work that you're doing, it's because you either didn't design the business right and you need help, and or find something that you really like within the business so that you can thrive in what you're doing and find a lot more fulfillment and significance in what you're doing.
Absolutely correct. So as we wind down towards the end, Nathan, how can people find you?
I'm mostly on Instagram. I have a bigger following there, Nathan Newberry Official. I have a free gift for all of those listeners. Most of the time people need help with sales or marketing, and I put together a full playbook for people that need that. If they DM me on Instagram, the word sales, I'll send them a full training and a whole breakdown of a playbook to help serve your audience. I'm everywhere on social media as well. They can find me wherever they love being on most.
Okay, we'll put that in the show notes. I'm glad you shared a great conversation, great insights that you shared for our listeners. And we look forward to having you on the show down the road again.
Thanks for having me.
Hey, Superfan Superstar, Freddie D here. Before we wrap, here's your 3A playbook power move to attract ideal clients, turn them into advocates, and accelerate your business success. Here's a top insight of today's episode. Coaches who build their brand around how they make people feel, not just what they teach, create magnetic loyalty that no algorithm can compete with. So here's your business growth action step. Write one sentence that captures the emotional transformation your coaching delivers, then bake that promise into your content, calls, and client experience starting today. If today's conversation sparked an idea for you, or you know of a fellow business leader who could benefit, share it with them and grab the full breakdown in the show notes. Let's accelerate together and start creating business superfans who champion your brand.
Thank you for joining us for another episode of the Business Superfans podcast. If you found today's conversation valuable, don't forget to hit that subscribe button, leave us a review, and share this episode with someone who could use these powerful insights to level up their business. Remember, creating business superfans isn't just about your customers. It's about fostering genuine, impactful connections across your entire business ecosystem. When you invest in those relationships, success doesn't just happen, it accelerates. Until next time, I'm your host, Freddie D. Let's keep building superfans, creating unstoppable momentum, and driving your business toward extraordinary success. See you in the next episode.
We hope you took away some useful knowledge from today's episode of the Business Superfans podcast. The path to success relies on taking action. So go over to businesssuperfans.com and get your hands on the book if you haven't already. Join the accelerator community and take that first step in generating a team of passionate supporters for your business. Join us on the next episode as we continue guiding you on your journey to achieve flourishing success in business.